Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." There's an autobiography titled Confessions, where the author confesses a life of sin and wrongdoing. Beginning with the sins of his youth, he talks about the many times he stole pears from his neighbor's fruit tree. He didn't steal the pears because he needed them or even wanted them. In fact, he threw most of the stolen pears away. The author confessed that he stole those pears because of peer pressure. He was with a group of kids who were stealing and doing things wrongly because they were wrong. The author had a good education. He was a good student. But if he didn't like a teacher, he refused to participate in the classroom. The story gets darker and darker. He confesses to a life of loose living. Rightly so, he compared himself to the prodigal son, the one who ran away from home, squandered all of his belongings with immoral living. This led to serious depression. And even though he'd been brought up in a Christian home, he rejected the church and he rejected Scripture. He left the Christian faith entirely. He was constantly in conflict with his mother. She tried to steer him away from a life of sin, to turn away from that life. She tried to bring him back to a life of faith, to the church. She never gave up on her son. In his book, the author reports that his mother told him of a dream she had. The dream was simply that he would return to the faith. Her name was Monica, and Monica's prayers and what I call holy nagging were answered. Her son did turn away from a life of sin into a life of grace. Certainly, this is a good story for Mother's Day, to lift up the importance of a mother's love and prayers for her children. In the book, the author confessed he needed help. He needed God's help. He learned that. He also knew that he needed the help and the prayers of his mother and others who prayed for him and tried to steer him on the right path. The son's name was Augustine. He wrote that book, that autobiography, in 400 AD, over 1600 years ago. Not only did Augustine return to the church, he was ordained, and eventually became a bishop. Today he's known as Saint Augustine, Bishop of Hippo. Augustine's book, his autobiography, Confessions, opens with a prayer. And my favorite part of his prayer is this: "When my soul is in disrepair, O God, restore it. Turn my soul to you alone. My heart is restless until it rests in you." On the night that he was arrested, the disciples of Jesus were definitely restless. Jesus told them at the Last Supper that he was going to be leaving them. And you could cut the tension with a knife. He was on his way to be arrested. They were stressed. They were anxious. Yes, restless. And Jesus was telling them, you need God's help. You'll need the help and the prayers of each other. Stick together in prayer. Your hearts will be troubled. Your hearts are going to be restless. But some of you will betray me, and some of you will even deny you know me. And we heard last Sunday that Jesus told his disciples to get through these troubles with each other, you need to pray. In troubled times, Jesus told them, whatever you ask in my name, whatever your troubles are, I will do something. And today we hear that the greatest something is that Jesus promises to send a helper from God, the Holy Spirit. Our translation calls the helper an advocate. Other translations use words like counselor, comforter, friend, someone to stand by you, someone to stand with you. When you need help, Jesus is telling his disciples, you will have the Holy Spirit. Even though Jesus would not be walking on the earth for much longer, the Holy Spirit will always be with us. So the departure of Jesus was bad news for the disciples, and here he is giving them good news to hang on to. Be assured, he tells them, I'm not going to leave you orphans. You will never be alone. Disciples of Jesus, this is the promise. You will always have the spiritual help you need. So whenever you're troubled, whenever you're afraid, whenever you're restless, whenever we lack shalom, peace, whenever we lack serenity, whenever we lack joy, even whenever we lack faith, God is always with us. Jesus said it clearly. The Holy Spirit will abide with you. The Holy Spirit, he promised, will be in you. Augustine's prayer really is a Holy Spirit prayer. When my soul is in disrepair, O God, restore it. Restore it. Turn my soul towards you alone. My heart is restless until it rests in you. In order to live well, we need the Holy Spirit within us, and that is resting in God. Though his death on the cross would be the next day, Jesus is letting them know that death doesn't get the last word. As hard as death is, it doesn't get the last word. He said, because I live, you also will live. The story of Jesus is a story of life. And our lives merge with his life. When Jesus said to his disciples, because I live, you also will live, he means, because I suffer, you also will suffer. Because I will rise
from the dead, you also will rise. Because I forgive, Jesus says to his disciples, you also will forgive. Because I heal, you also will heal. Because I serve, you also will serve. Because I love, you also will love. We heard twice in today's reading that those who love Jesus will keep his commandments. Looking through the teachings of Jesus, we can count at least 50 direct commands. Love one another as I have loved you is certainly the most powerful and important. Love one another as I have loved you. Sacrificial love. There's also commands like love your enemies. There's some tough commands, hard ones. Pray for those who persecute you. It's a little easier. Take up your cross and follow me. Seek first the kingdom of God. These commands of Jesus are the way we live, and a command that we all know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the way disciples of Jesus live. I think one of the most powerful commands of Jesus actually wasn't spoken directly to people. Jesus commanded a powerful wind and a stormy sea. The command was, be still. Well, there were people there to hear it and to experience the stillness. The disciples were trapped in that powerful wind and that stormy sea. They were afraid. They were in distress. They were in trouble. But I believe that this command, be still, is one of the commands of Jesus that we really, really need to cling to. Even though he didn't say it to people then, it is a command for people. It's a command for us. Jesus speaks this command to all of our emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual storms. Whatever storm we have, Jesus is speaking to us. Be still. Now, I've shared this with you before. The command of Jesus, be still, brings me to my favorite prayer. As Jesus spoke to the wind and the sea, he speaks to us in every storm. And that favorite prayer is simply a shh. It's a prayer for resting in God. Last evening, driving to church, I told Joe that I was going to be using the shh prayer for this sermon. And she thought about it a little bit. And then she reminded me of certain times when she, in discussion, says to me, shh. And I'll ask her, what's that all about? And she'll say, oh, it's a prayer. Well, actually, Joe is saying to me in a gentle, kind way, you need to shut up. But that got me to thinking. Sometimes God's shh is a holy reminder to stop doing something that we shouldn't be doing or something we shouldn't be saying. Or some of you have heard me sometimes say, the Holy Spirit sometimes gives us a good slap up the side of the head. Shh. That way we rest in God. Friends in Christ, we do need to rest in God. We need to have prayer places where we can rest in God. We need to have regular prayer times where we can rest in God. We need prayer times where we're not asking for something from God. We need prayer times where we're not even talking. We're just listening to God's shh. We need prayer times where all we hear is the voice of Jesus calming our restless hearts with the divine shh. Let us pray.
Think now of any storms going on in your life and in the lives of those you love. And listen to the voice of God. Shh. Think about your need to be forgiven or your need to forgive. And listen to the voice of God. Shh. Think about any anxieties or worries, even sin in your life, and listen to the voice of God. Shh. Think about illnesses, sickness. Listen to the healing voice of God. Shh. Think about your whole life, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And listen to the loving voice of God.